Welcome to Opinion Havers, a movie podcast for people with floppy, floppy faces. I'm Cody.
And I'm Tyler.
What do we watch?
We watched Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace.
Quantum.
Quantum, which is the first James Bond sci-fi movie.
The quantum physics. Quantum
physics. Quantum engines.
The Solace realm.
Quantum cars. Quantum Aston Martins.
I really racked my brain for a pun to say instead of Quantum of Solace, and I couldn't. I wrote in my little thing where I was going to take notes on your rant, I wrote Quantum of Agua. That's it. That's all I got.
Quantum of Agua. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Right? Took me 35 seconds to come up with that one. And I have yet to... It's been, I don't know, 20 minutes. I haven't come up with anything better.
It's been 20 minutes. You haven't come up with anything better. That's your best thing. That's the best thing you got.
It's the best thing
anyone could get, all right? And you move on with your life.
Yeah. Quantum of weird opera. Is there just there's a person?
Oh, yeah, that opera scene.
There's a person outside.
Oh, he's got a small briefcase. It's like not a normal size. It's like small. It's like a small rectangle briefcase, leading me to believe he's a flautist. There's a little flute in there.
Mm.
He's about to serenade some ladies.
At a weird opera?
Yeah, that opera scene was...
very odd.
It made me hate rich people and the theater.
Yeah. This is the thing. You thought, you're like, this doesn't exist when they did the light show in that other one?
Moonraker.
They do. They're weird. Rich people are weird.
Yeah.
Here's why. One super rich guy is a psychopath, and he loves it. And everybody else is trying to be like that rich guy. And so they pretend to like it, when in reality, none of them like it. It's kind of like you going to see weird movies. Yeah. Because you're trying to be like Jack Black, who sang the intro to this movie.
Oh, I ruptured my brain wrinkles trying to figure out who sang the intro song to this one.
That's my note. Jack Black did the opening credits, according to Cody.
I was very close.
Very close.
About as close as you can be without being correct.
So close. I really am bummed that Bailey pointed it out to you, because I really wanted you to not realize you'd said it until this moment when I brought it up.
Wouldn't that have just been wonderful?
It would have been.
Well, Tyler, I'm ready to dive into this movie. I want to know, sir, would you like the first rant, or would you like to give me the first rant? Think about it.
I'm pondering.
Mm. Swirl it, smell it, taste it.
I do like it when you start.
Oh, yeah.
I could start, but I feel like you've got several pages of notes.
You know, I have one and one-eighth of a page of notes.
Oh.
But it sounds like that may be more than you have.
But mine are good. All right. I will sit here. I'll take notes on your notes.
All right.
That's my pen. I'm going to click it.
All right. Well, Tyler, any last words? Better get them in?
No, I got
better
none.
Better get them in quick. All right. Quantum of Solace. Let's get into it. Because here's the thing. There have been 4 Daniel Craig Bond movies. Before Spectre came out, there were 3 Daniel Craig Bond movies. Are you following me? There's some math going on. If you need to pause and get out your quantum calculator, do it. And I'm resuming. Okay. Everyone's always like, Casino Royale, it's one of the best. You gotta watch Casino Royale. I really like Skyfall. Quantum of Solace, you can skip Quantum of Solace. That's what everyone said to me. Everyone is always like, Quantum of Solace is fine. It's okay. I don't know. It's like a boring movie. Not even, it's okay. That's all I've known. That's all I've known, and so I haven't seen it. This is the last one I haven't seen until now, and until a future date when movie theaters exist again and we can go watch it. The new one. But here's the thing. This was a pretty good movie. And it took me by surprise. You know, it's... Tyler, you foretold it. You prophesied it. Because you told me, like, oh no, after you've watched all these old Bond movies, you're going to watch this one, you're going to be like, oh, That was still pretty good. That was a good movie. You were right. This was a good movie. Did I have an issue or two? Maybe. But all in all, is I can't complain too much. Here's what I can't complain about. There's a man who worked on this movie, or woman. A man or woman who worked on this movie. I don't know the gender or age of this person, but I do know that they were the editor, the film editor, and that they were on speed or cocaine the entire time. Every time there's an action sequence, they're like, all right, we've got 90 shots and 12 seconds to get them in. Let's see how fast we can do it. And that was my big complaint about the movie. They tried to go so hard and so fast in the action scenes that, like, you couldn't really follow them. The action scene was like, here's a flash of this. It was like, I felt like I was in some sort of a hypnosis chamber where they were like putting subliminal messaging in like single frame shots overlaid. You know, it was too much. And it made one or two of the fight scenes a little bit rough because I was like, I can't even piece it. Like, I'm a young person. I can't piece this together. I can't imagine being like a 60-year-old dude who's been watching Bond movies his whole life. And then who rolls up to this, I would be like, this sucks. This is dumb. You can't follow the action. Why didn't they just shoot it in one shot and then speed it up to make the judo throw look good? You know, that's what they used to do. That's one of the few complaints I have. There's a lot to like about this movie. Number one, Jack White sings a song in this movie. The intro, this might have been my favorite intro song. TBH, all right? Jack White's in it, and then another voice enters. Who could that be? I forgot. Oh, it's Alicia Keys? Alicia Keys and Jack, that's a great partnership, and I enjoyed it, and I thought it was a very good theme song, okay? Yeah. My first two notes are about the editor. I don't know what it was. Well, you're gonna have to talk about that one. Although that stuff wasn't good, there's a really cool clock tower fall that happens, you know? Spectre's in charge, right? The whole thing is that it's Spectre, you know, when the guy's like, in the beginning, he's like, oh, we've got people everywhere. And then the bodyguard turns and is like, I'm actually a double agent or whatever, you know? So it's just Spectre. And I know that, like, that's the thing about the movie Spectre is they're like, yeah, the last two movies, it was all leading up to Spectre. We were all blood, so whatever his name is the whole time. Whatever. Well, we're going to have to talk about that. I know we talked about how, like, they call mum, you know? If you're British, you go to say ma'am, you say mum. But it just sounded like they were calling Judi Dench mom the whole time. And I know we've already addressed this, but it got to me, okay? It got to me this time because it kept happening, and I had to go through the same process of, why are they calling her mom? Why are they calling... Oh, right, because they're British, and they speak differently. Bowl cut guy, he has to go. He just has to go. He's terrifying. He's awful. We didn't like him. His wig came off, and it made me happy. We had to rewind it so I could watch that part. Tyler, thank you. You know, thanks for making me do that because I needed it. I thought I saw a thing about, like, how there's a giant explosion in this movie and it's all practical effects and they do it in the big wide shot. And then it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Like, I saw a behind-the-scenes thing, like a little clip on Instagram or TikTok or FaceTube or one of those, you know? And I didn't see it. I was very surprised. I was like, why'd they spend that much money on the big explosion? So that's all I have to say.
Now I'm going to have to cut you off there, Cody. Sorry to end you mid-sentence, you know? Okay. If you don't, I need to. You know what? I got it. Cause it's on my phone. It's right here. I just pulled it up. Oh, got it.
All right.
You
ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
Here's the thing, Cody. You're talking about the quick cuts, the cuts in the editing. They let a rabid badger loose in the editing booth. Okay, that's what happened. Here's what I don't like. Not only do I not like the cuts, but those are excusable because every movie during this decade of these movies, too many cuts. Way too many cuts. Culminating in, you guessed it, Taken 3? I don't know, where there are like, what, 95 cuts for Liam Neeson to jump over a fence? Yes, the worst of fence. And then, what'd we get? John Wick. And we're spoiled, Cody. We're spoiled now because of John Wick. Because they're like, you think there's going to be a cut? And they're like, no. You're going to watch this guy get his head blown off. All right. I like this movie. It's too shaky. That's my main thing. It's too shaky. It's like, you said something, but I will preach. I'm preaching to the choir. I know it. It's shaky. Get this man a Steadicam rig, okay? It's like they didn't intend for it to be shaky. It's like they're like, throw him in another Aston Martin and follow James Bond down the street. And he just had to strap to the hood of an Aston Martin trying to... They also strap cameras to things, which I like, but I think they do it three too many times. That's a guess. That's a guesstimate. All right. I think it's too much. All right. But I do like it sometimes. I like my favorite example of it isn't they didn't strap it, but where they track it is when The Rock does the rock bottom on Jason Statham. Okay. That's the best example on any movie ever. Fight me. All right. Cody, The Quantum is the name of the organization, but yes, they do say Quantum. That's not real. It's Spectre later, but it's for a later movie because the movie's called Spectre. So anybody who's like, oh, spoilers, it's called Spectre. All right. The organization has been around for 100 years in the Bondiverse. Get with the times. But yeah, it's called Quantum. That's why it's a little Q at the weird opera with the eye and the weird thing. Where did they kill people? I don't know. They're in Austria, which they could, I think. I don't know where they are. He kills a bodyguard of a British dude. Ma'am equals mommy. That's what you said. That's what I have written right here. Ma'am equals mommy because they might as well just call her mom. They might as well just say, hey, mommy. It would be less weird. Here's another fun fact for you. Here's another hot take. Matthew Amalric, the guy who graced us with his skills as Dominic Green, is the dime store Mads Mikkelsen. Okay, Mads is a Danish man. He's very beautiful. He's a very good actor. I love him. He's very creepy, but I love him. You know who else is Danish? You guessed it, Viggo Mortensen. Thus, Danish people are the best actors. This guy's French. You know how I feel about the French, all right? You know. You've been listening to the show long enough. People know how I feel about the French. He's creepy. He's very creepy, and I don't like him. Got the weird bug eyes. Like, nyah. Anyway, Cody, I like this movie. I think I like all the other ones better. Skyfall, I think, is boring, but I like it. I think it's a better movie, but I do like this one, all right? Because there's action, but there's 2 minute cuts. Bond kills everybody. It's the quantum of the kill count. That's what it is. It's the quantum kill count. It's all over the place. He's on a rampage, and then they're like, are you going to stop killing? And he's like, maybe, and then he just kills everybody, all right? That's what you don't understand. He's out for vengeance, all right? He's out there. He's grabbing life by the sack, and he's throwing it around. He's tossing it against the wall, asking it where his family is, all right? That's what he's doing, all right? He needs to know the information, and he's going to kill everybody to get it. How's he going to get it? He just killed the guy. No, that's, you know, he'll get it. He'll jump out of a plane into a hole, and then he's like, water, and then he solves the mystery. That's what happens, okay? Why do they always make the American CIA director the worst? Why? Are they the worst? I want to meet the CIA director for South America, because if he looks like that, I want to smack him, and then he'll kill me. I don't know. He could probably break me in half. Here's what I know. They usually look like dweebs, and they know 57 ways to kill you with a pencil, all right? But they're always the worst. But Felix, he's there. He's a good boy. And he's like, they're doing a little bit of cool back and forth in the bar. They're having a good time, having a grand old time. Oh, God.
All right, Tyler, I'm going to have to cut you off right in the middle of that very well-phrased point. And you're done, all right? I'm glad you agree with me about that.
Cody, he smacked a bike.
What?
That guy rolls up. And he's like,
and he whacks his hammers on the bike so the bike flips over?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It's very cool. He's like, you're supposed to shoot her. He's like, I missed. Gets him.
Remember that time that lady was about to assassinate the dude at the very beginning and then he bolts the whole thing?
Yeah, he could. If he had waited.
It's kind of a fun take because he's always saving the damsel. And for once, the damsel was doing her job and she was getting her revenge, you know? And it was like,
Yeah.
You ruined it.
If he had been like 2 seconds later, she would have Yeah, been done.
And he's still going to say, well, I mean, if he just timed that slightly differently, you know.
Later in the movie, not to jump forward several hours, but she goes to lie in wait for him. Mm-hmm. She has the gun to go kill the dude, the general, general something, whatever, nobody cares. They hear a gunshot. Senior Mousy Pants is like, looks like you lost another one. And Bonna's like, she's dead. And it's like, she's the one that went to do the killing. She had a gun. You would hear the gunshot if she won. But he's like, she's gone.
Remember that time they coated the lady in oil?
Yeah.
That was a hot take.
It's because she skin suffocated. Because they usually leave a little patch at the base of the spine.
They just dipped her in oil. And they did. It seems wasteful, but I guess it was to throw them off the trail of the water or something. Whatever.
What do you think about the line of, this is the most valuable resource on Earth? We need to control as much as possible.
For the water or for the oil?
Water. It's water. It was always water. That's the trick. Yeah. Control water.
Yeah, I did like the plot of this. Two things about this one. Number one, it starts where the last movie ended. He brings it, the guy he captured at the end of the last movie, he brings him in, and then that's, which I thought was actually pretty cool. I like that it was like carried on, because none of the Bond movies really do that. Yeah. Like none of them, the most they do is like, he gets married when he's George Lazenby, and then they reference his wife like one or two movies later. And they're like, ah, remember you got married? Anyway, like, whereas I kind of like that this one was like, oh, and I mean, they have Bloodstone in a couple movies, right? He's like in multiple. He's in like two or three Blofeld movies. Blofeld.
Yeah.
But I mean, aside from that, that's pretty much it. So I like that they're kind of carrying the themes and that they reference the stuff that happened in the other one. I would enjoy it if they did that in future Bond movies. You know, if the next Bond has three movies in them, like, well, what if they were tied in some way and they kind of, you know, worked up to something, especially since they have the same writing team doing all of them.
Yeah.
Well, at least the last, like, many. I know there are some new, fresh writers on the new one that's coming out. Anyway.
Yeah.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
Yeah,
zoned out.
I forget. Oh, I like the plot. I thought the plot was pretty good. It was like, I like that they got a little political with it, like the CIA getting tied up in some coups and being like, oh yeah, we'll give you this dictator stuff to get our hands in this other stuff. And they like, I wouldn't really care. These regimes change all the time. And then you got the bad guy who's like, I'm an environmental dude, except no, I'm controlling natural resources and selling them for profit. And you're like, yeah, that's like, I like that kind of evil plan better than the Diamond Death Laser 2.0. Let's do it. You know, I mean, not that there's not a place for that, but I like the more plot focused ones. You know.
Yeah, I definitely think that's what makes the villains of the new ones better. Is that they're much more, I don't know, believable in their goals and methods. Like even Blofeld is like just secret Illuminati organization or something, and it's right. Like. Oh, you're going to laser Moscow? He's like, no, what? You know?
Yeah. And I did like the villain in this one. I thought he was unsettling in his teeth and his eyes together made for an unsettling face. And then, like, at the end when he's, like, fighting with, like, the axe and, like, just swinging around like crazy, I thought that made for a pretty good fight scene. I was like, oh, he's menacing. He's like a scary dude, unhinged.
Yeah, I mean... He did a very good job.
Yeah.
I liked Mads' character better. Oh,
I think Mads had a better character, and Mads, I think, is a higher quality villain. He just is. He makes a great villain.
Yeah.
But I thought this was a good, and he was more unassuming villain. You're like, who's this guy? Like, what's his deal?
Yeah. They're very similar characters at the end of the day.
Because they're businessmen.
Different ways of doing it.
You know, it's like they're,
yeah,
business villains.
Yeah, except the big difference is one is, like, part of this organization, like, an active part, and one was just kind of used by Quantum.
Yeah.
With the Q.
I really liked, I know I mentioned it, but, like, the clock tower fall they did in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they fall through, they're on the scaffolding, you swing with the scaffolding, got to grab the gun on the ground. I did like that action sequence. There were still a couple of parts of it that could have been slowed down more, or just, like, not even slowed down, just...
Fewer cuts.
Yeah, if you like cut the cuts by 30%, it would have been a great action sequence. There were still parts I really liked, with him swinging around and grabbing the gun.
Yeah.
It's like out of reach. I like that. I mean, I like the set piece of it or whatever.
Yeah. They would have like three things and they would just cut between them too often.
Yeah, it was too hard to keep track of. You're like, what's the significance of this shot? But the shot was already over 2 seconds ago, and so you don't know how it all flows together. Like every frame of painting, there's like a YouTube channel that like goes way into like editing and filmmaking, and they've got like a great video on Mad Max Fury Road and why it's like so good because of like how it's edited together and everything's like planned out, so like your eyes follow the action and it all like makes sense.
Yeah. Isn't that the one that they started by doing all of What's-His-Face's movies, right? That
cause David that's, Fincher? David?
This is the guy that does Grand Budapest.
Wes Anderson?
Because he's the one that said that, right? He imagines every frame is a painting.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think it's all based on... They started doing his stuff. But yeah, I've heard that one is like their best deep dive.
Yeah.
They've done I think... Didn't they do the regular and the black and white?
Oh, really?
Which I'm glad that trend died.
Yeah, my friend Craig bought the black and white one. That's why I have a copy of Mad Max on Blu-ray. Because he bought it on Blu-ray, then they came out with the Chrome Edition, and he bought that and gave me his Mad Max
Blu-ray. I think I might have the Chrome Edition, because I bought the collector thing that has all the Mad Max movies. Because you know me, I buy sets of movies to get the old, crepid ones, the real old ones.
This movie has a problem.
Yes.
Most Bond movies have a problem. I still don't like the sunglasses they're picking for James Bond.
Yeah.
I didn't think they look... I thought they looked just a little bit wrong. I was like, these are... I just wish they'd go with, like, a classic. Because, like, I feel like Sean Connery James Bond, when he had sunglasses at the pool with his little romper, his little baby blue romper, you were like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Classic Ray-Bans, you know? Like, that... He's pulling those off. Whereas these are, like, they're not aviators. And they're not aviators, but they're somewhere in the uncanny valley of almost aviators. Like, ugh, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't notice it as much, but every time you've pointed it out, I'm like, yeah, you're right. It is weird that he'd be wearing those. It's
like
those.
They're too stylish, they're like too avant-garde, and I don't know where it is.
Yeah, because usually it's so easy to nail sunglasses, I feel like.
Right? Just, it's not that hard.
You just like, oh, you're doing a U.S. military one, you get Oakley's or like the Wiley X or something. Boom, you're doing a spy, you get, I don't know, tiny ones or aviators. Yeah. Cops get aviators. It's like,
right.
And they just like, yeah, you're right. They did try to go with a high-tech aesthetic. So is that it? Because it felt like they were like high-tech aviators.
Maybe.
And it's like,
Quantum aviators?
Quantum aviators.
Here's the thing about this movie too. David Harbour's in it, and excuse me, call me old fashioned, but I like David Harbour as a good guy. Please. Please and thank you. He played the bad CIA guy.
Oh yeah.
The bad CIA man. I like him when he's the good guy. I like him as our Agent Dan or Ranger Dan from Stranger Things, whatever his name is, you know?
That's who he is.
Yeah. I think David Harbour's great. And I'm very sad that it didn't work out for him with Hellboy because they did a bad job at it. But I think he's a great actor, and he's been in some good stuff.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
I don't know any of his top four credits, but whatever I've seen him in that I've liked him in, I've liked him in, you know?
Yeah. What did you think of them bringing back Mathis and all that? You know, because...
Which one's Mathis?
Mathis is the guy that he thought betrayed him in the first movie.
Oh, that was an interesting turn. So Mathis is out just cruising with some lover that he doesn't like, right?
No, yeah, that's like his wife, I think. I mean,
right, but it seemed like he was willing to leave because he was like, all right, I got to get out of here for a little bit. Anyway, that was interesting. I felt bad that he died, and that was kind of lame. But I did like that they made it a plot point to be like, because I know it's like the younger Bond, but he's like, that girl that got dipped in oil, like she worked at a desk. She was here just to bring you back. Like that's all she was here for, and look what you did. And Mathis died. You know, I was like, I did like that. It was kind of like, hey, are you going to think about your consequence? Like not only are you killing a lot of people, but people are dying around you. So what are you going to do about that? You know?
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Can I give you a fun thing?
Please do. With the
David Harbour?
Mm-hmm.
I remembered something, and I'm very excited. One day we'll get it, Cody. He's the Red Guardian in Black Widow.
Oh, my goodness. When I saw the Black Widow trailer, I've only seen the trailer once. When I saw that he was in it, I was like, well, this is going to be the best Marvel movie. Like, I was so excited.
Was it the one where he comes out in his old superhero suit? He's like, it still fits. He's got a gut. Yeah. And they're like,
I was so excited when I saw that. I was like, yes.
He's just an old, washed-up superhero. Choice. And I'm like, yes.
Man, I realize I've only seen David Harbour in two things, and both TV things. It's Stranger Things and Newsroom.
He looks...
Both great shows.
If the trailers are to be believed, I'm very excited for him and Black Widow. He's what I'm excited to see in Black Widow.
It's like that, but a little bit darker, is what should have been him as Hellboy.
Yeah, I haven't watched. I didn't watch the Hellboy. I was like, I'm gonna watch this. I watched the trailer and I was like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, I was so sad they didn't get a third part, because it was like the first Hellboy's good. Hellboy 2 was great, and I was like, Guillermo del Toro's gonna knock out of the park with this third one, and then it never materialized. You know?
Yeah. Well, it was a remake, right? The one that he's what? Hellboy.
It's supposed to be a reboot of it.
And it was not good.
Everyone wanted the third part, but it was a weird place too, because Hellboy 2 came out at the cusp of, like, Marvel starting up, you know? And everyone was like, oh, this MCU is going to be a big deal, and I just don't think they're ready. Because is it DC or Dark Horse?
I think Hellboy is Dark Horse.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know. Just got caught in a weird time.
Yeah. Also, Ron Perlman's really, really
good. And plus, like, Guillermo del Toro started, like, winning awards for stuff, and I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. He's too fancy now. He's in Death Stranding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He made the video game trailer PT, so... Yeah, stuff going on. Here's the thing. I got a thing that blew my mind. It probably won't blow your mind. You probably won't even care or like that I'm going to bring this up, but I must bring it up.
Give it to me.
The man who directed this movie, his name is Mark Forster, all right?
Right.
I want you to listen to some of his directing credits.
Right.
Keep in mind, he directed Quantum of Solace. Also directed Finding Neverland.
Yes.
Christopher Robin.
Yes.
Stranger Than Fiction.
Yes.
And, of course, less shocking, World War Z. The man who made World War Z and Quantum of Solace made Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
And Stranger Than Fiction. Stranger Than Fiction, I think, is a highly underrated movie. I love that movie. You get to watch Maggie Gyllenhaal bake cookies, and you get to watch Will Ferrell run around, you know, and try to be serious. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
So, what else? Doesn't that blow your mind?
The same director?
Finding Neverland.
Yeah.
Christopher Robin. Someone saw Quantum of Solace and said, you know what he needs? A live-action Winnie the Pooh movie. They gave it to him.
They did give it to him.
I liked Christopher Robin.
I did too.
I didn't think it was like amazing, but I did like it.
I thought it was so good. I need to go to his IMDb, because I can't believe that he was the director of some of the movies that Google's telling me he's attached to. So yeah. I need to be into IMDb. Please really.
While you do that, I have one last fun fact.
Give me the fun fact.
So remember when they do the skydiving thing?
Yeah.
And their face, I noticed how floppy their faces were. Because they never make your faces look that floppy when you're skydiving in the movies.
They always pretend like they're not floppy.
But this one, it was so floppy. And I learned they shot up in a wind tunnel in 30-second intervals with special contact lenses so that their eyes wouldn't get dried out. So they have their eyes open.
Nice.
Isn't that cool? But I didn't know. I was like, that's a ballsy move to show the floppy faces, you know?
Yeah.
Good for them.
It's very good for them. Cody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk to me.
Let me just... Your boy that you got here.
Mark Forster.
As you said, World War Z. Machine Gun Preacher.
Oh.
Quantum of Solace. Obviously Christopher Robin, but obviously. I already scrolled past that. You know?
We all know him from Christopher Robin.
Oh. He has not directed very many things, and it is...
It is a fascinating resume.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, here's some... It's like, oh, these look like horror movies or something. Finding Neverland. All right. And then another horror movie, Stranger Than Fiction. And then a feel-good movie about Jamaica, maybe? I don't know. I can't tell from the cover. And then Quantum of Solace. And then a movie about Machine Gun Preacher, World War Z. A movie I've never heard of. A short, Christopher Robin. What?
What will he do next? That's my question. What's next for
The Cow? Now? Or Untitled course. Greenpeace Project?
Oh. Well, that's...
Good
luck, Mark. Yeah, our heart goes out to you. Thank you for giving us Christopher Robin and Finding Neverland and Stranger Than Fiction. Here's the thing. You can't direct the action sequences of Quantum of Solace and do Christopher Robin. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, obviously he didn't. I don't know.
All right. All right. I mean, now I need to know who the editors of this movie is.
Because they're honestly bad.
I got not much else to say.
It's probably a man.
It's Matt Chessy, who also did Warrior. Also did Finding Neverland and World War Z. Oh, they're a package deal.
Yes.
Well, he also did the editing for Taco Bell Nacho Fries Retrieval.
Yes. What?
I think it's a Taco Bell short or commercial.
Nice.
Presumably about their French fries.
But they're nacho fries, not French fries, you they're fool.
Nacho fries. So,
it was, here's a fact. It blew my mind, Cody.
What did?
Because you think, right, they're like, oh, first one came out, and then you're like, this is what has always happened in my mind, okay? It's like, first Bond movie of the reboot comes out, and then the Bourne movies come out, and then Quantum of Solace comes out. There's like two or three Bourne movies out before Casino Royale came out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I've always chalked up the massive difference between Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace as the Bourne movies came out and were successful, so they changed the formula a little bit.
Here's the thing.
But they don't cut like crazy.
This editor thing goes deeper than we think.
Oh, the conspiracy?
There's a second editor who does not have a picture on IMDb. So the first editor, Matt Cheesy? I'm so sorry, Matt. okay, hold on, sorry.
Give it to
he
me.
He has a picture, all right? Second guy, Richard Pearson, does not have a picture, but he was editor for Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Yes.
Justice League.
Yes.
Kong, Skull Island.
Yes.
The Accountant.
Yes.
Dracula Untold.
It all comes back together, Cody. Every movie ties to Dracula Untold. Yeah. I've told you it every day. I say it all the time.
He also did Maleficent. He also did the remake of Red Dawn. He had a small role in Men in Black 2. I think he also edited Iron Man 2, maybe. I also think he may have had a part in Muppets. He also edited Muppets from Space.
Did we do an episode on Godzilla, King of Monsters?
Didn't we watch it together? I don't know.
We definitely watched. I saw it more than once.
I think you saw it with me in IMAX, and I don't think we recorded on it.
So good.
He also edited The Bourne Supremacy. So there we go. Found it.
That's the link. The important link, though, is, in fact, to Dracula Untold.
Dracula Untold. What a gem.
It's so good.
I don't think there's anything better we can share. I think we peaked.
Have we peaked right around the 30-minute mark?
And now it's our time just to relax and enjoy the work we've done.
How long do we need to sit here? Because we got to hit that time for the sponsors, you know?
Oh, I mean, we're past time.
Oh.
But also, we can take some dead air if you want.
Nah, you know, it's like, I just want people to have to sit in.
Our listeners have given me a lot of feedback about how they just want more dead air, more space to digest and
I like and to think, go you know? Completely silent.
Mm-hmm.
So that people think maybe this podcast stopped.
Maybe something went wrong with their podcast.
And they just long enough so that they start to reach for the phone to check it, but they don't really get to check it before I start.
I love to punk our listeners. It's my favorite.
It's the best.
I set my voicemail message to be, "Welcome to Opinion Havers." And then people would just be like, "Wait, what happened? Did I call a podcast?"
Yes.
So anyway, it was a good one. It was a good movie.
It's pretty good.
It was a good movie.
It's pretty good.
A little flawed, but all in all, one of the better Bond movies.
But before we close it out, though, he beat the daylights out of Vespa's boyfriend, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, he beat him within, like, they had to save him. Like, they had to go in there and stabilize him, right?
He got what he came for.
Yeah.
Mm. I liked they closed the loop on that, you know? And it was like, you sort of got closure, got his little revenge, saved a secret agent some trouble, you know? I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And that was the last thing about the movie I would say, too, is like, oh, he brought him in. he didn't just kill that dude. He let him go to the authorities and, like, you know, got his closure, and he did it the right way. And that was, like, his character development of, like, okay, he learned a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
And M's like, and Mom's like, I need you back. And he's like, I never left.
I never left. And then what did he do? He dropped a mic, right? And then he rode out on a skateboard.
Yeah.
It was
and then he slam dunked a football into the into the point box. You know what I'm saying?
He sure did.
What kind of football, though? Because he's British. You'll never know unless you watch the movie.
Well, if people want to share us, you can.
We're on all the podcast services. You just hit the little share button. It's on the Google, on the Apple, on the Stitcher, on the Spotify. That's a big one. People like the Spotify. If they want to yell at us or tell us to watch Doctor Who,
it's you can tweet us at Opinion Havers. I'm dropping hot semi-annual tweets.
You're down to semi-annual?
Actually dropped a great one this morning. If you're curious about what I ate for lunch today, I need you to go into my Twitter feed and look at last week's tweet, and you'll have a little treat for you.
Just a little sweet treat.
A little sweet treat for you. But until next time. You to watch movies
and have opinions.
So I thought I was gonna run out of time on my rant today, and I was just gonna explain how I made my donut holes. I was gonna like share the recipe I got, but now people will never know. Just kidding. TikTok at that dude can cook. He gives a great little tip. You get your biscuit dough, you quarter it, roll into balls, throw in some hot oil, make a little icing out of some milk, vanilla, powdered sugar, bing bang boom. Donut holes. Basically for free. How cheap are biscuits? Well, I don't know. $2?
It's not the longest.
How cheap is powdered sugar? 30 cents?
The longest we've ever done.
And you got donuts at home. Put the donut shop out of business.
But no, because, you know, they got the virus and such. They're struggling right now.
Oh, yeah. Buy donuts, too. But if you want to make your own donut holes to put in your donuts, if you want to plug your donuts so it's a complete donut, then there you go.
Here's what you do. Buy donuts. Use the donuts instead of the biscuit dough.
Oh, hold on. Are you talking about a donut on donut, twice baked, twice fried donuts?
Yes.
This is a great idea.
Yeah. You have that. Click.
Oh, is it the record button again?
It's the stop.